The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their Jack-O-Lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious, only $6 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
And going along with this, the papal mania, I have a kind of a design, the contest about the popes. It's called Find the Pope's Inn of the Pizza. All 264 popes, they're in here. And what we're going to do in about 1 minute, we're going to put a close-up of this on your screen. And all you got to do is get a pencil and draw a circle around every place you see a picture of a pope. And what I'm going to do for the prize, whoever wins, you know, finds the most popes, they get to have a button that I designed myself. I noticed on the tour, the best-selling button was this. It says, I got a peek at the Pope. And now, all you have to do is take the paper off, fold it up, put it in an envelope, and address it to Find the Popes in the Pizza Contest, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York, 10020-ZIP. Arrivederci, America.
The voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, September 22, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza right there in the pizza.
Yo.
Hi. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Best lawyer ever. And you can find out why. Go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link in the podcast page for free legal advice. Free. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings on to you. It's free. You know, I really wanted to play the entire Father Guido Sarducci Find the Popes in the Pizza segment, but it was like 6 minutes long. There was no way I could fit it. So I got the best part of it. I got a peek at the Pope. Oh, yeah, by the way, thanks to our spectacular new affiliate, littlegreenfootballs.com. I don't know how new they are anymore. It's been a couple of months. Maybe I should change that copy. By the way, we just surpassed. This is a pretty big deal. We just surpassed the halfway mark on our Patreon fundraising effort. We just passed $3,500.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Good for us.
Did we really? Did I do the math wrong again? Is it 3,500? 3,500? Yeah, because I keep doing the math wrong. Is that halfway? 3,500 times two.
Is that it 7,000? Is that our goal?
No, our goal. No, we didn't pass the halfway mark. Our goal is not 7,000. It is actually
7,500. So everything you did was just for absolutely nothing.
No, it was absolutely no reason. I did the math entirely wrong. I'm a math stupid. We still have a ways to go before we get to... What is 7,500 divided by 2? I'm just dumb. 3,750?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, we've got, like, another $200 to go before we get to the halfway mark. So, well, maybe that...
So, please, everybody, step up and put us at the halfway mark so Bob won't be wrong again.
Exactly. Help me by adding the extra, you know, $200, $220 so we can get to the halfway mark at Patreon. That'd be $3,750.
Yeah.
On our way to $7,500. We get to $7,500 per month, then we're doing 5 shows a week. How? I have no idea. But somehow we will do free shows.
That's a good point. Wow. Yeah.
Monday.
But I guess, you know what, if we get that much money coming in, yeah, you know what, I can put a lot of other stuff aside.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, I mean, that's a good chunk of change, and that helps us not only produce the show, but it makes it worth the time that we're doing. I mean, because it's not just an hour a day of recording. I wish it was that easy. I wish it was that easy just sitting and recording, talking for 55 minutes.
It is for me.
Well, it is for you, because you just show up. But I mean,
that's
then
right. I just show up.
For me, it's like...
But I'm funny.
It's like 2 hours. I think it's about 2 hours of prep time before the show, where I'm putting together audio, recording bits, and putting together basically a list of topics to talk about. And then after that, it takes me about another 5 hours to bleep all of Chez's F words.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. You're right. I didn't realize that, so I should stop swearing.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it actually doesn't take quite that long. But it's, you know, it's a bit of an endeavor to go through and make sure that there are no F-bombs. And that's why I miss so many. And then, you know, got to post a show on the main blog, got to post it over on iTunes, and then on Patreon, and then send it over to Little Green Footballs, make sure that SoundCloud gets it through the Realm Network. It's like a whole big to-do. So, your money, your contributions to Patreon help make that all happen. And it's already happening. I mean, all of our Patreon supporters are really helping us make the show better and better, or we hope it's better and better every week or every day that we do the show.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, I tried to go into Costco one day. I tried to pay for groceries using an MP3 file. Didn't happen. They actually require cash money to buy things. So it is helpful when we have some cash for our endeavors. So really appreciate all of our supporters from Patreon.com. By the way, speaking of support, go to Facebook.com/Bob and Chez and support the show there, too. Like us on Facebook. Okay. So Pope Francis is in the United States. He's on the ground in the United States.
Wheels down.
Pope Francis, the Pope wheels are down.
Pope has boots on the ground. Prada boots on the ground.
But of course, the Republicans are freaking out.
Oh yeah, he's totally not welcome. He's not welcome on U.S. soil.
I mean, it's amazing
because this is their reaction to anything that's critical of the United States.
That's right.
That's even constructively critical of the United States. Go home. Get out.
I mean, the people who have spent the entire year bitching about religious freedom and, you know, making sure everyone is supporting laws that are based on religious dogma, blah, blah, blah. Don't step all over our religion.
Wait, are you really going to criticize the Republicans for hypocrisy at this point? Are you really going to bother?
Is it obvious enough?
Dear God.
But yet they're all over the Pope because
because they're right and you're wrong. It's as simple as that. That's what the math comes down to.
I mean, I got to tell you, it's still astonishing to me that these religious nutbags are criticizing the effing Pope. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, here's Media Matters put together basically a compilation. It's about 2 minutes long. Compilation of all the various Republicans and conservatives, the usual suspects, going after the Pope. Here we go.
Will Francis and Barack reshape the world by taxing the rich, taxing fossil fuels, and redistributing the wealth? That's exactly what they're trying to do.
He talks about the horror of capitalism. He's anti-trickle-down economics. He supports the Iranian deal.
His job is to get souls into heaven, period. His job is not to tell governments how to spend money.
This is just pure Marxism coming out of the mouth of the Pope. There's no such unfettered capitalism that doesn't exist anywhere.
Essentially, he's talking about the greed of America.
Is this an anti-capitalist Pope?
The Pope sounds like he is against capitalism.
He has a Marxist background.
This Pope is a world government promoting, anti-gun, global government carbon tax guy, and it's sick.
The same people who gave us Obama gave us this Pope.
Do you think he's going to get political at all?
Why the hell does anybody give a shit? Why is Michael Savage still on the air?
I don't know. Because he's a... I mean, you want to talk about the biggest goddamn mental patient on the radio?
Is he on the air in like three markets? There's no fucking way that he's on the air in any place more than that.
I don't know. I think he's on a bunch of markets. I mean, I remember listening to him in Honolulu, for God's sake.
Dear God, what a monster.
Yeah, he really, really is an awful, awful human being. And he's got, you can just tell by listening to that show, he has a laundry list of psychological issues that make your eyes explode.
Yeah, and MSNBC won't hire him.
He's so good at mental illness, your head will fall off.
America's worship of money and our green energy and talk about global warming.
The most... dangerous person on the planet is somebody who's seeking strange new respect from their adversaries. And that is what the Pope is doing.
We are not
the most... Greg Gutfeld, the Pope is the most dangerous person on the planet. It's certainly not ISIS or Al-Qaeda or...
Wow.
you know, North Korea, like the leader of North Korea with nuclear weapons aimed at the United States.
Yeah.
It's the Pope. It's the Pope and the pizza. For God's... Craig Gutfeld. Jesus, what a douchebag.
Bamboozled by a clean white outfit and a huge cross.
I've asked the Pope's...
That was Michael Savage again.
Yep.
Bamboozled by a clean white outfit and a huge cross. I'm a big goddamn closet case. I've got my little pooches and I've got my mental illness and my outrage. Yeah. And now I'm going to bitch to you for the next 3 hours. I hope you enjoy it. Michael Savage Show. Michael Wiener. This is his real name, by the way.
If I could put together a team of people that could actually teach the Pope.
He comes out of a...
Glenn Beck's going to put together a team of people to actually teach the Pope.
That was my favorite part of that.
Glenn Beck is going to put together a team of people to teach the Pope. Right. The team is going to include a squeaky toy and a Smurf doll. That's the team of whack jobs that Glenn Beck will assemble to teach the Pope, like a mental patient.
Latin American strand of Catholicism that is, frankly, sort of anti-capitalist and anti-bourgeois.
Go visit the Pope and say, this is what capitalism is.
We're not buying this big lie.
He is a Malthusian.
Does this Pope understand?
He's a Malthusian. I don't know who said that, but they get the triple word score.
Yep.
For the inchoate rage.
America?
The Pope is saying we have to give and give and give, the rich. We have to give and give and give until we're all poor.
And I think it's up to the Catholic people to turn their backs on this Pope before it is too late, before they wake up and find out that they're in chains.
Yeah, right. You know what? Bill Maher did a thing about this recently where he went through a lot of the Republican predictions about what would happen under Obama.
Yeah.
We're never going to be in chains. Ever.
That's more of that stupid, ridiculous Republican fear-mongering that never actually happens.
Exactly.
Nothing they have predicted about the Obama administration has come true. Not a goddamn thing.
Not a single thing. That's exactly right. We're going to be in chains. For God's sake. You bet. I mean, just wait. I mean, I'm looking forward to, like, 10, 15 years from now, going back to all of these predictions. Going, nah. No one's in chains. But, of course, then Michael Savage will be dead by then. And the world will be a better place because of it.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about a story a little bit here in the show where there's another person in the news this week who, if he dies, the world will be a much, much better place.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I don't. My fantasies about him plummeting to his death are, I feel very good about them.
All right, we got 17 more seconds of this.
Have a Pope doing this at this point and calling for planetary government.
He doesn't want to be...
Planetary. I love how Alex Jones refers to it as planetary government. As if there are other planetary governments.
Well, of course there are, because the lizard people from outer space are now, they've now dug in a toehold here in here on Earth.
The Pope is instituting planetary government, and then when the Klingons finally come down, we'll be able to defeat them and their disruptor weapons.
It's just funny to see Alex Jones always figure out a way to see things through sort of the prism of the conspiracies that eat up his brain every minute of every day. You know, everybody else is like, capitalism. He's just like, one world government.
Attention, all members of the planetary government. We have assumed control. Jesus God.
All of these people hating on... At the very least, in terms of popes, probably the most decent man that's ever come out of the Vatican.
Yeah.
Certainly in recent history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
Granted, the institution he represents is still just mired in 9th century stupidity.
Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, certainly he's not flawless. But for God's sake, I mean, we gotta take the good that's coming out of this guy.
This is who we are now. I mean, this is who the Republicans are. Mm-hmm. Just any kind of criticism, any kind of look, you know what? This is genuinely hurting people, the way that you're behaving. That's just met with screams and howls and the monkeys throwing bones at the monolith like at the beginning of 2001.
Right. And that's exactly what they're doing now. Yeah. I mean, when is he talking to Congress? He's speaking before Congress. Is it today or tomorrow? Sometime this week. And it's going to be, I mean, they're going to be ready with the poop flinging. There's going to be booing. There's going, you know, they're going to act like a bunch of fucking children.
And
you
the best
know
part
it.
About it is, if you believe the Catholic faith, then the Pope is the representation of God on this planet. Mm-hmm. And he is going to stand there before Congress, and he's going to talk to people. And he's going to talk to people about, one would assume, he's going to talk to them about the way that Jesus and the way that God would actually want us to behave. He is going to bring that message of true Christianity, genuine Christianity.
Exactly.
Directly, you know, a giant beam of light from heaven directly into Congress. And these annoying little shits are going to, no.
Right.
They're going to lecture him, like Glenn Beck says, they're going to lecture him on what Jesus really wants, on what God really wants. And what God wants is AR-15s and, you know, bilking the poor out of money and basically f***ing them in the ass.
Exactly. Going around punching hobos like Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
God loves, Jesus loves that.
That's what their God wants.
Exactly. I mean, what they don't...
They're a despicable God.
What they don't want their people to know, you know, people like Chris Christie says, I disagree with the Pope. Or Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends, the adult Monchichi, going off about the Pope this week.
I always wonder, I keep waiting for the time when Brian Kilmeade like stands up and starts running into things because his eyes are so close together that he can't get any perspective.
Right. It's only a matter of time. But I mean, what they don't want their people to know is that, you know who the Pope answers to? You know who's above the Pope? Jesus. In the teachings of the Catholic Church, the Pope answers to no one but Jesus.
It goes from God to Jesus to you to the cleaners. Let's see if anybody gets that reference. Anybody at all.
But I mean, really, I mean, when you say you disagree with the Pope, you're disagreeing with the second in command to Jesus. Yes. These are the Jesus people.
Exactly.
It's Glenn Beck like, I'm going to get together
a team of people to teach the Pope.
To teach the Pope about religion.
About religion.
He's going to teach the Pope about God.
Yeah.
He's the fucking Pope, you jackass.
Well, that's the funny thing is they're framing the Pope's recent encyclical about climate crisis as a political document. It's not a political document. The Pope issues religious documents. This is a document that's instructing Catholics in terms of what is in accordance with their faith.
Right, because you're destroying the planet God gave you.
That's right.
That's another thing. They love to they bring everything comes back to politics when it's something that they don't like. Why are you politicizing this? No one's politicizing it. It's not a matter of politics. It's a matter of humanity.
They don't get it. They do get it, but they don't want their people to get it.
Right, and in this case, it's a matter of, you know what? If the Pope stands there and says, "Look, we're killing the Earth." Mm-hmm. The reason he's saying it is because he believes, I may not agree with him, but he believes that the Earth was created by God, was given to us by God, and we are f***ing it up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And that was the whole point of the encyclical. It wasn't to be like, okay, here we go. I'm gonna publish an editorial in the New York Times. And wasn't that? That wasn't the Pope's intention. And that's not what encyclicals are all about. And the fact is that guys like Chris Christie, Brian Kilmeade, Rick Santorum, they know that. They're just counting on the fact that none of their people, and I assume very few of their people are actually Catholic, would understand. They're assuming that they don't know that information. And that's the business model of Fox News Channel. That's the business model of the Republican Party. Assume the people are idiots. You want to sum up the entire approach of the conservative right? Assume people are idiots, and you can get away with anything. Anything. Going to take a quick break, come back with more show right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome back. Okay. During that commercial, I was trying to find the Pope in the pizza. By the way, the Republicans have already freaked out. In addition to freaking out about the Pope, the griping has already begun on Twitter. Evidently, and this comes to us from Breitbart's Charlie Spearing, who tweets, Obama bows to Pope Francis after shaking his hand. Oh, my God.
It's another guy Obama's apologizing to.
Yep. Obviously, Obama's really a secret Catholic. He's not. Actually, he's not a Muslim. He's a Catholic. Because look, he bowed to the Pope. Why does Obama hate America after bowing to the Pope? I'm going to see how many times this has been retweeted. Well, thank God, only 32 retweets. By the way, Breitbart has a White House correspondent. Sleep tight, America. Breitbart has a guy in the White House.
He's constantly like leaving upper deckers in the toilet, the press room toilet.
Holy shit. Oh my God. That actually raises a great point. You posted a video on Facebook, and I hadn't seen this video before. This is going back to this is the 1980 presidential campaign. This is a League of Women Voters debate between candidate George H.W. Bush and candidate Ronald Reagan. This is during the Republican primary in 1980. And think, when you hear this, think about the way things are now on the conservative side. Versus,
I mean, I put up my caption for it was, you know, this is what I'm going to show to everybody, mm-hmm. anybody, however many few of them are left,
yeah.
who is willing to tell me that the Republican Party has not become worse.
Yes.
That it's the same party that it always was. Because I remember growing up, I remember seeing, you know, Reagan and Tip O'Neill go at each other, but when push came to shove, they cooperated. Things got done. Each party had ideas. They had decency. They had, you know, even if you disagreed with sort of the little minuscule politics back and forth, at their heart, they kind of wanted to do the same thing. They kind of wanted to be good for America. And this is just, God, it's so not like that anymore.
No.
Right.
Mainly what they wanted to do was to be able to go to their voters, their supporters, and say, look what we have accomplished. Look at all of the legislation we got passed, the legislation I signed. We worked together. We reached across the aisle. We got things done. Now what people want is, you know, look at all the different ways I f***ed Obama in the asshole.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing. That's the accomplishment.
I think that comes from Fox News.
Yeah.
I do. I think that the era of Fox News has where Fox News and talk radio just whip these people up into a frenzy. Just feed them utter bullshit and whip them up and whip their anger.
Yeah.
You know, their anger and resentment into this frenzy, this nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's behind this.
Yeah.
And that because of that, people aren't getting smarter. They're getting dumber by far.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen to how reasonable George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan are here in this debate. And by the way, I'll just spoiler. They agree. They agree. Listen to this.
Now we're going to have some questions from the audience.
Yes, my name is David Grossberg, and I'd like to know, do you think the children of illegal aliens should be allowed to attend Texas public schools free, or do you think that their parents should pay for their education?
Who are you addressing that to?
I think you're first in this.
He was looking right at you. I said he was.
It's so good to hear Howard K. Smith.
Yeah, I know.
Back from the dead.
Right. And the first person to speak will be George H.W. Bush.
Look, I'd like to see something done about the illegal alien problem that would be so sensitive and so understanding about labor needs and human needs that that problem wouldn't come up.
Sensitive and understanding.
Yeah.
Jesus, never would you hear anyone on the Republican side say that. Those two words.
But today, if those people are here, I would reluctantly say I think they would get whatever it is that they're, you know, what the society is giving to their neighbors. But the problem has to be solved. The problem has to be solved because as we have kind of made illegal some kinds of labor that I'd like to see legal, we're doing two things. We're creating a whole society of really honorable, decent, family-loving people that are in violation of the law. And secondly, we're exacerbating relations with Mexico. The answer to your question is much more fundamental. than whether they attend Houston schools, it seems to me. I don't want to see a whole, if they're living here, I don't want to see a whole thing of 6- and 8-year-old kids being made, you know, one totally uneducated and made to feel that they're living with outside the law. Let's address ourselves to the fundamentals. These are good people, strong people. Wow. Part of my family is a Mexican.
That's just incredible. I mean, George H.W. Bush stood up in front of a nationally televised audience and said, it's okay if the children of undocumented immigrants went to public school. Yep. It's okay. Because we want educated people in the United States. That's astonishing. No one. No. And that was just 1980. You know, right. I guess maybe for millennials, it was a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago.
Just for the sake of it, the difference was 3 million immigrants, illegal immigrants, and, you know, undocumented, whatever the fuck back then you call them illegals. Yeah. 3 million illegal immigrants versus 11.5 million now.
Right.
So the problem has certainly become greater. If you
want to
call
but then again, the overall population is larger too. I mean, there is a shift, and I'll describe the shift after we're done here.
Can I add to that? I think the time has come that the United States and our neighbors,
this is Reagan, by the way, in case you don't recognize
him,
particularly our neighbor to the south, should have a better understanding and a better relationship than we've ever had. And I think that we haven't been sensitive enough to our size and our power. They have a problem of 40% to 50% unemployment. Now, this cannot continue without the possibility arising with regard to that other country that we talked about, of Cuba and what it is stirring up, of the possibility of trouble below the border, and we could have a very hostile and strange neighbor on our border. Rather than making them or talking about putting up a fence, why don't we work out some recognition of our mutual problems, make it possible for them to come here legally with a work permit, and then while they're working and earning here, they pay taxes here. And when they want to go back, they can go back, and they can cross and open the border both ways.
Wow.
By understanding their problems.
Yep.
Unbelievable. That's Ronald Reagan. That's the guy they were all, you know, cupping his corpse at the debate the other night. Knowing, maybe not knowing, but I guess assuming that
they were circle jerking around his dead body.
That's right. They were cupping his dead.
I like that.
Jesus, I'm so proud. So I mean, again, Ronald Reagan saying,
well,
that,
that's the beauty. I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan works for them for the same reason that anything involving nostalgia does for anybody, because you get to romanticize it. They have created, it's kind of like what they've done with the Founding Fathers. They've created this image of Reagan that's utterly different than who he actually was and how he actually governed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They've turned Reagan's corpse into like a Christmas tree. We'll just dangle whatever the fuck, you know, off of this corpse right. that we think is appropriate and looks good. Yeah. Even though
everybody knows that if Reagan were alive right now and trying to run, he'd be laughed out of the room.
Oh, yeah, God.
And, you would be laughed out of the room. We'd be yelled out of the room.
Did you see Ted Cruz weasel his way around that one on The Late Show with Colbert?
I saw him try.
Yeah, he tried. He failed miserably because, you know, I guess he assumed that because...
No, I didn't have time for that. I was actually watching Carly Fiorina sing a song about her dogs on Fallon.
Oh, God. Horrifying. You mean, did Fallon stick his goofy face into it, too?
He basically sort of nudged her on to do it. because that's what he knows.
Did he dress... I'm surprised he didn't dress up like a dog.
Yeah, I know. Because he's a f***ing hack.
He really is. Okay, we're going to take another break, come back, and we're going to talk about this this AIDS tycoon who, well, not AIDS tycoon, but he hiked the price of AIDS drugs to an ungodly amount just because he's a big douchebag. More show back right after this. Hello, Bob here to talk about Tweaked Audio. Listener Karen R. wrote to us this week about Tweaked Audio's earbuds, and here's what she had to say. Thanks for the Tweaked Audio link. Had trouble finding decent but not too expensive pods for chores and biking, so tried these. Happy! Exclamation mark. Go now to our website and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. And if you use the promo code BANDC, that's B-A-N-D-C at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Again, use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at BobSeska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Ball cover.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com. Great way to support the show. We get a small commission from everything you buy. You go shopping, you save money, and you help support things and the proceedings here. Thank you. Okay, so this guy, the worst, literally like the worst person in the world right now. I mean, you know, next to the Pope, evidently. Who's maybe not the worst person in the world. Pope, most dangerous person in the world, obviously. So this, as you called him on the Daily Banter, this smug prick.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about Martin Shkreli. Oh. That's his name. I mean, he couldn't come up with a better last name for a bag than Shkreli. I mean, we should turn that into like the Urban Dictionary definition of bag. Another word for like Shkreli. Another word for bag.
Martin Shkreli is a 32-year-old venture capitalist and a former hedge fund manager mm-hmm. who he founded a startup called Turing Pharmaceuticals, and last month that company bought Daraprim,
yeah.
which is this 60-something-year-old drug that treats
toxoplasmosis.
Toxoplasmosis, mm-hmm. which can be deadly, obviously, in people who have really, really weakened or diminished immune systems. It's a drug that really, really helps people with HIV and cancer. But, you know, as he sees it, it's a little bit too cheap.
Right.
So he jacked the price up 5,500% from $13.50 a tablet to $750 a tablet. And he actually said that, by the way. He said that in an interview with Bloomberg TV yesterday, you know, trying to defend himself, but not really. And he was just this smug, smarmy little douchebag kid.
Mm-hmm.
This little Joffrey-esque motherfucker you want to punch
exactly
in the face.
Exactly like
really
Joffrey.
Badly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and he said flat out, he said, you know, it's this drug is, you know, it only costs about $1,000 to save your life on this drug. And, well, that's really underpriced and undervalued. You know what? It should cost a hell of a lot more than that. You know, if your life depends on it. He's basically putting a price tag on your life.
Jesus.
And the thing is, he's such a perfect, perfect. There's no other, it couldn't get any better. He's a perfect illustration of how fucked up our healthcare system is and basically capitalism, American capitalism, taken to its, you know, the nth degree, to its logical conclusion, and how everything in this country went absolutely wrong.
But by his logic, saying that no price is too high to save your life, by saying that, you know, a glass of fucking water should cost $1,000.
Exactly. That's it. And that's exactly how he thinks. That's exactly how this guy thinks.
God.
And his attitude is, you know, he's taking people hostage. And he says that the money that he makes off of it, he's going to put into R&D. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is twofold. The problem is Daraprim doesn't really need to be improved on. You know, he's constantly about, oh, you know, we're looking for a better drug than this. We're going to make a better drug. No, you're not.
No.
You know, you're not, because Daraprim doesn't need to be improved. And more importantly than that, apparently, there, you know, obviously over the past 24 hours, a ton of articles have come out on this guy looking back into his past. And they found out, like, you know, he's made this kind of claim before.
Mm-hmm.
He's done this sort of thing before, and he's made this kind of claim that he is going to take the money that he earns from, you know, this massive profit that he earns, and he's going to – oh, by the way, the pill costs about $1 to make.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you got to take into consideration shipping costs and stuff like that. But to actually create the pill, it's about $1.
Unbelievable. See,
he says he's going to – put all his money into R&D, but he never has before. He's made that claim before.
You know, it really, when I see stories like this, it makes me think that there's some validity to, I gotta say, to the conspiracy theory that some of these pharmaceuticals have teamed up to never come up with cures for certain diseases, because the selling the meds to treat the disease is more financially lucrative. Because as we were saying before the show, Shkreli is kind of indicative of CEOs across the board. Their job is to maximize profit. They're missing the piece in their head where most of us would go, you know, that's unethical. can't do it, can't live with myself, can't sleep at night, can't do this.
And that's the thing. I mean, the irony of all of this is that he's not just somebody who, you know what, fine, he's a rich asshole, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's somebody who works in the biotech industry.
Right.
You know, he's somebody who works in pharmaceuticals. And so he has the power to do the most good immediately and directly. And he just looks at the whole thing as a dodge to make money.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, he said in the interview yesterday, you know, he said it's only fair that we make a profit. And he says that, you know, Turing Pharmaceuticals is going to be concentrating so much on Daraprim that if you're suffering from toxoplasmosis, you'll now have, and this is a quote, a powerful ally in your fight against the disease, which is like saying that ISIS militants who've taken you hostage are powerful allies in keeping you alive since you avoid death kind of at their pleasure.
Yeah, and you know what? I saw on Facebook, and I didn't have a chance to delve into it anymore, but I really trust this friend of mine who posted it on Facebook. This friend of mine, Josh Dobbin, posted this article about how at one point they discovered that just blue food dye helped to treat spinal cord injuries in mice.
Right.
And because it was so inexpensive to make, they kind of just abandoned it. And so they didn't continue any further research into it.
Right.
And I might be sounding like I'm going a little Alex Jones here. But it kind of makes me think.
Well, look, I'm not a conspiracy theory fan. You know that. When somebody says something, I want proof. If you're going to make a big claim, you need to have a lot of big proof to back it up. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, my God, it's common sense that you follow the money.
Yeah.
If there's money to be made, then there's a pretty good chance that you can't trust the person behind it.
Yeah.
You know, if the goal is just to make bucks, then you need to at least to some extent look at that suspiciously, look at their motives suspiciously.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, it's just I don't like to
making money and making sure that people are healthy and taken care of, that shit's antithetical.
Right.
You know, if you're more interested in making money, you know, I've said this a bunch of times and I said it yesterday, leaving something as important as whether we live or die to the whim of the free market, I think is one of the absolute worst things we've ever, the most despicable things we've ever done as a country.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, what makes Martin whatever, seriously, what makes him so wonderfully illustrative of that entire problem? I mean, he couldn't be more perfect if a movie had engineered a greedy villain.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, because he's 32 years old. He's just got this smug smirk on his face in every single picture of him. His Twitter feed is nothing but conspicuous consumption, quoting Wu-Tang Clan and Eminem like he's some kind of badass, and basically retweeting anybody who calls him a boy wonder and just going off on anybody who criticizes him.
Yep.
He's been, over the past like 24 to 48 hours, he's been beating up on people who have like, I don't know, like 25 followers.
Sad, sad, sad little man with his teeny tiny penis. This guy's Twitter handle is Martin Shkreli, all one word. It's Shkreli. Martin Shkreli. Go check him out on Twitter. And if you see him on the street, give him a firm elbow right to his throat and crush his larynx for me, please.
Yeah, I mean, this far worse than Jesse Waters. He's just a douchebag.
Yeah.
He's technically not really harming anyone other than just being a prick and, you know, hurting people's feelings. This guy's actually hurting people. Yeah,
this guy's f***ing over cancer and AIDS patients, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, if I could think of anybody who more deserves to have a fist in his face, it's this guy.
All right. On that note, one last break. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's bubblegenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Oh, yeah, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. London calling to the faraway towns. Now war is declared. Okay, so continuing on with our Tuesday show. Let's see what else is happening in the world. We got a big post-mortem show coming up here in a few minutes. If you're a subscriber on Patreon, patreon.com/Bob and Chez, you can hear all of that. There's going to be lots of stuff, lots of additional stuff that we didn't get to hear during the free version of the show. So if you go and listen to the post-mortem show at patreon.com, all you got to do is subscribe at the $5 a month level and you get the post-mortem show. All right. So I checked out Jesse Ventura's YouTube page.
Because I like to
see whatever he's ranting about every week. And there was he did a beautiful, beautiful rant about Mike Huckabee and religious liberty and the Supreme Court. Basically, it's Jesse Ventura essentially schooling Mike Huckabee on judicial review and the separation of church and state. So we're going to play this Jesse Ventura clip. But first, I've been waiting for a good Jesse Ventura clip to come along for a few weeks now because I found a Jesse Ventura jingle. This is an actual Jesse Ventura jingle that we're going to use before every time we talk about Jesse Ventura.
Let's win this thing. We demand a man who speaks his mind.
Jesse Ventura.
Darn right. Not some suit who only toes the party line. I don't play that game.
Jesse.
When those other guys were cashing government checks, he was in.
It really sucks to see what's become of George Benson.
Jesse,
we demand a leader with a spine.
Jesse Ventura.
You're making me blush. We want one of us, not someone on the inside. I'm no career politician.
Jesse.
Now they'll try to tell you he can't win.
Watch your mouth.
But just vote your conscience and we'll vote him in.
Let's win this thing.
Jesse.
That's the beginning of his talk show. That's his talk show theme. Jesse.
Darn right. He does the darn, the DARPA darn. All right. Here's Jesse Ventura schooling Mike Huckabee, who needs to be schooled on this whole religious liberty crap and the Kim Davis thing. This is effing awesome.
I think that he wants us to become the Middle East. Mike Huckabee's a Christian who's dying to be a Muslim, I guess. That's what they do over there. They put God's law in front of government's law.
That's what they do over there. They put God's law in front of government's law. He's exactly effing right. Jesse's totally right.
Newman.
Now, if we're going to do that, Governor Huckabee, if we're going to put God's law in front of government law, then isn't God's law also thou shalt not kill? So in that case, why does Mike Huckabee support the government going to war and killing people?
See, here's Jesse Ventura making the same mistake I did, just calling out the obvious, which is, Republican hypocrisy.
Right. it's not that it's a mistake. It's totally on the mark. It's just useless.
Right.
Because at this point, they do that like it's nothing. It just comes right off their tongue. As if we're living in an age where you can't look back on what they said 10 minutes ago or even, 6 weeks ago.
Right.
A year ago, 10 years ago.
Jesse. Ventura.
Does that mean I can stand up and say to my government, I refuse to pay taxes because you're using my money to kill people? You're using my money to go over in the Middle East and kill?
To go over in the Middle East to kill? I disagree with him about a great many things, and I loathe his view of the 9/11 truth or crap and the thermite paint.
Yes.
But, man, he is endlessly entertaining. Go over to the Middle East and kill?
You're using my money to kill Americans with drones without even having them stand trial? If you have your own personal beliefs and those beliefs don't coincide with the laws of the land.
By the way, in the video, you got to see the video version of this one. It's his latest video on the Jesse Ventura YouTube channel. He's wearing sunglasses, and because he's using really crappy chroma key where you can always see the green glow like on his face,
yeah.
The green is reflecting off of the sides of his glasses. So it makes him great. Look like he's got big chunks removed from his head.
It makes him look like he's a weatherman back in like 1978.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like a which local news weatherman.
Constitution and Bill of Rights lays out for us. And in our Constitution, Mike, the Supreme Court is figured in. They're not part of it.
That's what the Founding Fathers said. You know, we're writing up this Constitution. We need to figure out how to figure in the Supreme Court.
I'm going to stick George the Animal Steel on you.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to come at you like a spider monkey.
On Jim Duggan.
It's all part of the big picture. The three branches of government.
That's the name of my band. The three branches. Said exactly that way. The three branches of government. Mike, let me tell you. Mr. Fuji is going to throw salt in your eyes.
Don't you know anything about the Constitution and how the Supreme Court was figured in there?
Checks and balances. And it's the Supreme Court's job to ensure people are not discriminated against. Mike, you want to discriminate. You want your personal beliefs and the personal beliefs of this clerk to allow you and her to be able to discriminate against other people.
Can somebody tell me what exactly the note is that's... because that's the level of his voice.
I know.
Everything he says is at the he's hitting the same note.
So he might as well just be going.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But you know what? Honest to God, I think Jesse Ventura might be the most earnest man in the periphery of politics.
Sure.
I mean, I think he believes every word that he's saying.
Totally. And I don't agree with him on much.
Yeah.
But the things I do agree with him on, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I disagree with him about what he was saying about drones. I disagree with him, obviously, as I said before, about the 9/11 truther crap.
Oh, God, yeah.
Thermite paint. But you know what? He's just so goddamn entertaining. I just can't help it.
Unless they share your religious beliefs. Mike, read Ben Franklin. Read Tom Jefferson. Read what those people had to say.
He's
about
on a first-name basis with Tom.
Read old Benny Franklin. He and I wrestled tag team back right. In the 1780s.
We called him Benny because back in the day, he used to pop a lot of Benzedrine. Nobody knows that.
It was me. It was Benny Franklin, Tom Jefferson. We got into ladder and chair matches.
And Jimmy Madison would stop by.
Old Sammy Adams would come by and bet on the matches. Also thermite paint.
Organized religion. They were fearful of it. That's why they made it where no religion prevails in this country.
Yeah, there's really no cadence to his voice. You notice that? It's just like everyone...
That's it. It's like one... like. Like if you put it through like a spectrometer or whatever the hell that thing is, it would just be like it would just say blah blah.
Benny Franklin, organized religion, and all the other things that the Supreme Court's figured in about.
That's it. Yeah.
Is it the one note?
And there's a separation called church and state. This woman works for the state. If she can't do her job,
that's it.
In the words of Dab.
It's a truck horn.
If she can't do her job,
Dabney Coleman.
Jesse Ventura is quoting Dabney Coleman now.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes, we got to hear this.
Works for the state. If she can't do her job, in the words of Dabney Coleman in 9 to 5. Fire her ass.
Oh, yes. Jesse Ventura. Thank you.
Let's win this thing.
We demand a man who speaks his mind.
In the words of Dabney Coleman. Ventura.
Darn right.
We used to spend lots of time, Benny Franklin and me and Tommy. Little Tommy Jefferson. Also, Dabney Coleman was there too, doing blow. I modeled my mustache in the 80s off of Dabney Coleman's mustache. No one had a better mustache in the 80s like Dabney Coleman. And he also said, fire your ass.
Yeah, when Dabney Coleman did something we didn't like, we would chain him up to a garage door opener so we could just press the button and he'd be dragged back to the bed. Because he was a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot. I cannot f***ing believe that I remember 9 to 5 that well.
God. See, I mean, I'm thinking... The Dabney Coleman I'm thinking of is the Dabney Coleman... He played the same character in the movie. What am I thinking about? Like Dabney Coleman... You know, I prefer Dabney Coleman's performance in War Games. It was like Dabney Coleman was always just Dabney Coleman. By the way, I just love saying the name Dabney.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame is right outside of my SoulCycle class.
Is it really?
Yeah, every time I pass it, I'm just like, I want so badly to take a picture of it and make that my like cover photo for Facebook.
Dabney. Jesse. Right. Somebody tells me that Jesse Ventura is going out and partying with Dabney Coleman. But they do it in front of a green screen, like a bad green screen. Okay, so here's what you want to do. We've got a crap load of stuff to talk about on the Postmortem Show, which we're not going to talk about all of. Just programming note, we're recording not only our Thursday show, but also the after party on Wednesday.
So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we're doing, right? I mean, we can't squeeze. I mean, you got some obligations on Thursday and Friday. Yeah.
Thursday and Friday, definitely. I mean, the only thing I got to do tomorrow, I love that we're talking business here, is I've got to write whatever magazine piece I've got for Banter this week because I will not be around on Thursday.
Right, exactly. So we've got lots of stuff to sort of bump over to, the show for Thursday, so we'll do that too. But if you want to listen to the Postmortem Show, go to patreon.com/BobandChez. That's BobandChez, not Bob-n-Chez, like the in-out burger that I had for lunch today. Which, by the way, double-double, delicious.
Of course, it's the second greatest burger on earth.
In fact, you know what? Next time I go to In-N-Out, I'm going to just get the double-double and then maybe a single instead of getting the fries. Because the fries were just the fries were anticlimactic after the double-double. Okay, have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we'll see you on the Thursday show. Thanks a lot, folks. Bye.
Jesse.